This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it as we take you till 8 o'clock this evening. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we are going to hear some audio from Blues coach Jim Montgomery in front of their game tonight against Calgary. And then later on this hour, we're going to get to know the newest sports reporter and anchor over at Channel 4, Grace Ibarra, is going to join us on the program as well. I've always told you, I am honest with you, truthful with you, and transparent with you. The transparent part of what I'm about to say, I'm very uncomfortable with what we're about to talk about, because I think the absolute world of Benji Molina. Love the guy. Man, is he a good guy. You do not get human beings better than Benji Molina. I consider him a friend. I love the way he lives his life. I've talked about him very many times on the things he does that people don't always know about. He's so active in the community. I mean, I just love the guy. There was a lot made of some comments he made on another radio station over on the FM dial, our friends over at 101. He made some comments yesterday about his brother, Yadier Molina, having interest in the Cardinals managerial job. And those comments blew up. It really became, at least from a social media perspective, I think it was the biggest sports story in St. Louis over the last 24 hours or so. So obviously, I got to talk about it. It's my job to talk about it. I don't like talking about it. The reason I don't like talking about it is because I wish Benji would not have said what he said. And I don't like being critical of people that I like. But it's what we have to do kind of in this situation. And we were supposed to have Benji on at some point in the real near future to talk about his toy drive, which is coming up this weekend. And I hope we still can have him on. And honestly, I don't even know how I'd handle that if we had it on, if we're going to go back and revisit this with him or not. Like, it's a very uncomfortable thing for me to discuss this. But I think it is worth talking about for at least a few minutes. And the comments that were made were essentially that his brother Yadi is interested in being the Cardinals manager, that if he was the Cardinals manager, he'd like to have Albert Pujols as his hitting coach, Adam Wainwright as his pitching coach, and that he's got multiple offers to be a major league manager. I would like to get, I'd be interested in some clarification on some of those comments that were made, because the idea that Molina has gotten, or Yadier, the fact that the idea that he has gotten multiple offers to be a major league manager, or that there's offers, like there can't be offers sitting out there right now. Every team has a manager, right? Like that's, there's no jobs available for him to be offered at the moment. You rarely ever see a team hire a manager where the Jeff Passans of the world, John Heymans of the world, the JP Morosis of the world aren't putting it out there. That's like there's always insider reports going on. So the fact that we have not heard a whisper that there are teams that would be interested in Molina to be their manager, I heard that and I kind of went, you know, whether he was saying that he's just had offers or whether he has offers, either way, that's I'd like to get more information on that bluntly, because I have a hard time thinking that that's completely the way it came off. I think more importantly in all this is like what's real and what's not real. Fans can sit here and like fantasize about the idea of Adam Wainwright being a pitching coach. This is not a shot at Wainwright at all. It's going to sound like it. It's really not. What has Wainwright done to show you that he can be a good pitching coach? He's been a very good pitcher, but not every athlete can coach it. Like this is it's hard. I think Molina, again, I think Yadi has, you can look at the way he played the game and you can say, okay, this is somebody who could manage a major league game. Like I have full belief that he has that ability. If he ever wants to really be a major league manager, he can get on that path and he can get there. That's the end game stuff. I do question whether or not he has the stomach for all the other stuff. I have a hard time believing he's going to go all in on pregame media session with the written media, pregame radio interview, pregame TV interview, postgame media, like all that stuff. That doesn't really seem like his thing, but maybe it. Maybe he'll be fine with it. Like I'm not closing off that door. But the other stuff that he said that I thought was more interested, Adam Wainwright has a really good life right now. He gets to go be a TV guy and he gets to make good money and he gets to be with his family after spending years and years and years doing nothing but traveling. And we don't even know if he would be a good pitching coach, because there are people who devote their entire lives to coaching the game of baseball, who are working in the minor leagues, who are working at colleges, who are really, really good at what they do, and they don't get the big league opportunity. And there's no assumption that Wainwright would be great at the idea of Pujols as a hitting coach. Like I know he has talked about wanting to be a manager at some point. It's a lot different being a manager and being a coach. Pujols has hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. He's doing pretty good from a TV standpoint. Does he have it in him? Does he really? And he's got a relatively new wife. Does he really want to be in a kind of a grungy job where he's showing up to the ballpark, first guy in every single day, last guy out every day, being a hitting coach? Like maybe he would do it for his buddy. I don't know. It just doesn't seem completely plausible to me. So I saw that yesterday, and gosh, I love Benji Molina. He's such a good dude. But those comments that were made just kind of struck me in a weird way, where it didn't really feel like this was a real thing and it's a real possibility. More importantly, Yadi said he's got a kid who's going to be graduating in a couple of years and doesn't want to do anything else. At least that's what Benji said that Yadi said. So it's not a right now thing. But I thought it was interesting. I didn't love that those comments came out of his mouth. And I would probably want a little bit more clarification on it, because I feel like the surface level of what was said probably doesn't tell the entire story. We'll hear from Jim Montgomery in just a moment here on KMOX.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Coming up in a few moments, we're going to get to know one of the newest sports anchors and reporters in town, Grace Ibarra, who was recently hired by Channel 4, First Alert 4, and of course the Matrix Midwest channel as well. She is going to join us for a first time here on KMOX. So that's going to be coming up in just a little while. Wanted to hear from Jim Montgomery and preview a little more of the Blues game that's going to be going on tonight against. So far, so good for the Blues under Montgomery. They have won 3 of his 4 games as coach, and in the game that they lost, they didn't play very well against the Flyers, and they still stole a point, losing in overtime by a 3-2 score. So they match up against Calgary coming up this evening, the second of 4 straight games against teams in Canada. They'll also take on Edmonton and Vancouver before eventually getting back home for a matchup against San Jose. That's going to be a week from today, so that's when the Blues are finally going to return home. But like I said, let's listen in a little bit as Jim Montgomery spent some time with the media earlier today following morning skate. And as the team goes into this game tonight, he said that absolutely, this is a good Calgary team that they're going to face off against.
Just how well they play the game the right way, especially at home. They're 10-3, won 6 in a row. They don't beat themselves. You know, you're going to have to earn odd man rushes. You're going to have to earn your every foot of ice against a D-core that's very active and very competitive.
Calgary comes into the game tonight with a record of 13-9-4, although they have been struggling here a little bit recently. They won their last time out against Columbus on Tuesday, got a 3-0 shutout victory. Before that, they lost 4 straight games. We talked about this with Winnipeg the other day because Winnipeg got off to a fantastic start. Certainly Calgary did as well. Not quite as good of a start as Winnipeg did, but Calgary did win their first 4 and 5 of their first 6, so started at 5-0-1. They've gone kind of through some losing streaks and some winning streaks since then, and we'll see whether or not the Blues can make sure that they don't turn what was a win on Tuesday into a bit of a winning streak. As mentioned, these comments from Jim Montgomery coming from morning skate today, which they did get participation from both Pavel Buchnevich and Justin Falk, a couple guys who have been banged up, might play tonight, according to Montgomery.
Both are skating today. We'll know more determination of whether they're players after pregame skate.
In the last game against the Jets, a game that they won by a 4-1 score, it was a really good performance for defenseman Scott Pernovich. He had two assists and a +3 rating. First time in his career he had multiple points. Also first time in his career that his plus minus was better than +2. So he has been playing some pretty good hockey with a really good performance there. And Montgomery was asked about what makes Pernovich good. What does he need to be doing on the ice to have success?
His feet are moving. He's really involved with the around the puck and playing with the puck in all three zones. Like the 4-on-4 goal was a really good example of how well he was supporting pucks, and he makes the good east-west play because he was in position to make it. He's above F1 like we want to do in neutral zone when you're the weak side defenseman.
For him in particular, is that confidence maybe more of an impact on his game than some other players just how offensive he is?
Well, I think it's both, right? It impacts him. I thought he was really aggressive offensively, which led to him having good gaps. I thought he killed a lot of plays for us last game. And then the forwards, you know, they're getting pucks on their tape because of his vision and his ability to make plays.
Yesterday, we got word from the NHL what the Four Nations tournament rosters are going to look like, and two Blues players are participating for Team Canada as Jordan Binnington and Colton Parayko. A lot of people thought Binnington was going to get in there. For some, Parayko was a bit of a surprise. There's been some people. We talked with Andy Strickland yesterday, and he mentioned the fact that he had been saying for quite some time that he thought that Parayko would get on there, and some people had kind of pushed back on it. Montgomery was asked today about the importance and how he feels about Parayko being in the Four Nations tournament.
He's such a good young man, like as a person, as a human being, the way he treats people, the respect he has for everybody, you know, fans he meets. And then you couple that with the growth he's had from what I've seen since I've come back. His maturity level, his presence on ice is very noticeable, and he deserves and has earned that opportunity to play for Canada.
And if you're not familiar with the Four Nations Face-Off International Tournament, it's going to be the first best-on-best tournament in hockey since the 2016 World Cup of Hockey. It's the United States, Canada, Finland, and also Sweden. Those are going to be the four teams that are going to be matched up against each other, and this should be a really exciting event, something that the NHL is excited about, and rightfully so, and just a great opportunity for everybody participating to be able to get in there and play with some of the best players in all of hockey. One other note, the Chicago Blackhawks today, they fired their coach, Luke Richardson. Blackhawks are terrible. Again, they're 8-16-2. So the Winter Classic this year is going to have two coaches that were put in place midseason. For the Blues, obviously Jim Montgomery, and he's their new full-time coach. The Blackhawks have just named an interim head coach, and that is Anders Sorensen, who had been the coach of their AHL team, the Rockford IceHogs. And they also made some other moves, as Mark Eden is going to be the assistant, Mark Eden, who had been their assistant general manager overseeing player development. He became the interim coach in Rockford. But yeah, kind of interesting that the Blackhawks make their move with a coach. The Blues made their move with a coach. So we've got the Winter Classic this year. When I was driving in today, and I don't know for sure how long this has been this way, but every day when I drive in here to KMOX, I do drive by the Enterprise Center. And as I was driving by today, I did take note of the fact that the Winter Classic logos were there on the windows right at the entrance to the Enterprise Center. Maybe those have been up for 2 weeks. I don't know. But I had not noticed it literally until today. So we are getting closer and closer to that event, which is just a few weeks away. And it's going to just kind of interesting that the Blues make a coaching change and the Blackhawks make a coaching change. I didn't realize that Luke Richardson had been there with the Blackhawks for three seasons. And that's just, they've been in such a challenging spot. I mean, you hire somebody and ask them to go through what they were going through there, you're going to give them some leash. But I think they expected some more progress this year, and they certainly have not got that. When he was hired in 2022, He was brought in right in the middle of what was known to be a prolonged rebuild. And his time there, he goes 57-118-15, which clearly is not very good. All right, we are going to take a break. And when we return, Grace Ibarra is going to join us, new sports anchor and reporter with Channel 4, First Alert 4, also doing stuff with Matrix Midwest. So she's going to join us coming up in just a moment or so. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we continue to take you through the evening. We do have a SLU basketball coming your way tonight. They're out west. They'll match up against San Francisco right now. Very happy to welcome onto the program for the first time. You see her on First Alert 4, Channel 4. She is their newest sports anchor and reporter. Her name is Grace Ibarra. You can follow her on Twitter at GNYBARRA. Again, Grace Ibarra joining us on the program. Grace, thanks for taking some time with us today. Welcome to St. Louis.
Thank you so much for having me. I love being here.
What has it been like for you? I know it's been a very short amount of time since you've gotten here.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Obviously, just knowing about St. Louis and visiting here a couple times before I got this job, you know how much sports mean to this city. So I feel extremely lucky to be covering sports in a town that cares so much about their teams. And I can tell just from the month and a half I've been here so far, just how much it matters.
What is your background in terms of where you're from and where you're coming from?
So I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. I went to IU, have a pretty good college football team right now, so I'm pretty pumped about that. I went and worked at a TV station in Mississippi out of college, so that's where I spent the last 2.5 years before moving to St. Louis. So I was working in SEC country covering Mississippi State and Ole Miss. So, you know, getting to cover Mizzou now, it's nice. It's not too big of a change from the SEC schools that I was covering down there.
It feels like IU people are taking over St. Louis sports media. You work with Tamar Scher here at KMOX. Yes. We've got Tom Ackerman. I mean, it's Indiana people absolutely everywhere right now in St. Louis sports media.
Definitely. I actually went to college with Tamar, so we overlapped while we were in Bloomington, took classes together, and now we get to work together. So it's an absolute dream.
Yeah, how much fun is that, having that? That doesn't happen very often where you do have a friendship with somebody and you end up in this type of job working alongside.
It's awesome. It's funny. We joke about how far we've come since doing our newscasts in college and how much has changed, but it's really awesome because she was a great friend just before in college. She was a year older than me, so someone I looked up to, and now getting to work with her, I mean, it's seriously a dream come true.
And you walk in right as Channel 4, the new channel with Matrix and the connection with Mizzou Athletics and the football programs you guys did. I mean, this is not every local TV station across the country has the type of commitment to sports that Channel 4 has, so I have to think it's a really comfortable situation walking in and having a lot of opportunities.
I mean, yeah, that was a huge appeal to this job, just how much they're investing. You see sports departments across the country kind of taking away from what they're doing and taking less money out of their sports coverage. And to see someone in local news putting so much money into, you know, putting up new shows on a new channel and having these partnerships with these teams, I mean, you do not see that everywhere. So I had to jump at this opportunity. It's really incredible what we're doing.
You mentioned that you come from, you've been working in the state of Mississippi. There has to be some comfort level because obviously Ole Miss, Mississippi State, SEC sports, you walk in covering Mizzou, having that SEC experience with you.
Yeah, definitely. It's great. I mean, I've seen Drink at, you know, SEC media days in the past, so he's a familiar face to me, obviously, first time covering him. But, you know, I've covered games where either of the schools that I previously covered faced Mizzou, so having a lot of familiarity with the conference itself and the University of Missouri has been a really easy transition for me.
You walk in as well, right as the St. Louis Blues make a coaching change. And,
right.
Jim Montgomery, the results so far, it's a tiny sample size with just 4 games, but it's been pretty impressive what the team has been able to do in a very short amount of time since he's taken over.
Yeah, that coaching change happened within my first month. And, you know, it's not something I think when we saw Jim Montgomery get fired in Boston, something that, you know, people thought was a possibility, but just that timeline was crazy how quickly it all went down. And even so, after now that he is behind the bench, just seeing how quickly he's been able to, you know, improve their offense, improve, you know, outputs of these games. It's been incredible to watch what he's doing in St. Louis already. I mean, they're on the road now in Canada, so I'm excited for them to get back in St. Louis and for him to get back in front of this crowd, because you can tell just how excited they are to have him back here.
You have not been able to experience covering the Cardinals quite yet, but that is a thing of its own here in this market. Obviously, they are number one. Do you have an excitement level of getting to be able to watch that team and cover that team and tell the stories about the Cardinals on an everyday basis?
Oh, for sure. I love baseball. I went to Busch for the first time, and I guess only time, when I was 13. So it's been a long time. I'm excited to get back there. It's one of my favorite parks I've been to. And, I mean, this team matters so much to the city. You don't get that everywhere. So I'm so excited to be able to cover the Cardinals.
I don't know how much you really follow along with what's going on right now, just with there being everything happening off the field. But obviously, right, this team is in a reset right now, and they just hired a bunch of people as they try to revamp player development, and they're doing all these things to try to get up to date with the industry, and they've kind of fallen back in recent years. How do you feel about what this team is trying to do this offseason, even if it means maybe taking a little bit of a step back this upcoming year?
I definitely think, like what you just said, there, I don't think is a way to fix every glaring issue this team has in one season and one off season, that is, even. So it might take taking a step back this next season. It might take, you know, not getting exactly to where you want to be, but realizing that this is, you know, for the long haul, and being able to make those general movements in the right direction and do what's best for the future, and not, you know, just make rash decisions to get immediate outcomes right away. So I think we are not going to maybe see the Cardinals get back to where we want them to be this upcoming season, but hopefully see them trend in the right direction.
Last thing for you, you mentioned you're an Indiana grad. Indiana football is having just this incredible season at 11-1. They're going to get into the college football playoff. The cynics out there have made the point that the schedule that they played was not a very good schedule. The top team that they played in Ohio State beat them pretty good, but you can't control the schedule. So talk me through your confidence level right now on the Hoosiers having a win or two still left in them this season in the college football playoff.
You know, I'm pretty confident. I think with any IU grad you'll talk to right now, we feel like we're playing with house money after all the seasons of IU football we've been through. So just being in this situation, we're all grateful for it to begin with. But, you know, we don't pick our schedule. I joke that it's a nice schedule we finally got after years of playing in the Big Ten East with facing Michigan and Penn State and Ohio State every single year. But, I mean, the Cards, we drew the right hand this year. Things kind of fell our way. But I think with Cignetti, he's a veteran coach. He's got really disciplined guys. I think he has what it takes to, you know, win a game in the college football playoff. And you see the way the SEC is kind of beating itself up and all these weird outcomes out of it. I think they could catch a team at the right time.
Grace, great to get to know you a little bit. Enjoying being able to see you on Channel 4. Hopefully our paths are going to cross at some point in the near future. But encourage everybody to be watching you and the rest of the team with Tamar and Jacob as well there at First Alert 4. And appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Grace Ibarra. She is the new sports anchor and sports reporter at Channel 4 KMOV. Again, you can follow her on Twitter at GN Ibarra. That's GNYBARRA. Good to get to know her a little bit. We'll be seeing a lot more of her on TV moving forward. Of course, we'll get her back on the program at some point in the relatively near future. We will take ourselves a break. We've got more coming up. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to put the final touches on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. You are not going to want to go anywhere. We've got SLU Billikens basketball coming your way this evening. Billikens are out west, so that's why we still have it coming up so late tonight. SLU is going to match up this evening against San Francisco. So a battle of a couple Jesuit schools this evening, and we'll see whether or not the Billikens are able to put a really good effort out onto the floor. You know, from a record standpoint, SLU, they're in a perfectly good spot. They have a 5-2 record, but you know, twice now we've heard from head coach Josh Schertz after games where maybe effort is the wrong word. I'd have to go back and look at the exact words that he used, but he certainly questioned the effort, did not like the way that his team played. He was not overly happy with what he saw against Jackson State this past Monday. That was a game that the team did win 74-66, and he clearly was not happy with their loss against Wichita State back in Kansas City on November 22nd when they ended up losing that game by an 88-63 score. So even beyond, not taking anything away from San Francisco, but even beyond what the final score is tonight, I think as I listen in to Josh Schertz after the game, I'll be interested to hear what he has to say about his team's effort. Because that's going to be of note. So they start at 9 o'clock. Our coverage is going to begin in about 45 minutes at 8:45. I believe we'll get a little bit of the Gas House Gang in there for you leading into that. As the Gas House Gang today, it was a really good conversation. Today was Kevin Wheeler and Bernie Miklas doing it. And I was at home listening to it as they were doing it. And I hope you guys enjoy listening to it, because I certainly enjoyed being able to hear what they had to talk about on a few different things. You know, yesterday, Bernie and I certainly had the discussion about the new hires that the Cardinals are bringing in. And here's the thing I don't completely understand, because I've seen, and look, you can't put too much stock in like Facebook comments, right? Like that's just something that you should not do, and they don't speak for a vocal majority and things like that. But I am somewhat amazed. I talked about this a little bit with Dave Glover the other day. I got somebody texted me the other day into like the station text line, and they basically accused me of being very arrogant, very pompous, and I don't know if that's how I come across. I hope it's not. I don't think that's my personality. I don't think that's who I am. Maybe some people can disagree with that, but I believe strongly in the words that come out of my mouth. But at the same time, I'm always willing to listen to others and have my opinion change. And I think I do change my opinion on things as I hear other information. I like listening to people who are smarter than me, or people that can look at something in a different way. I think that's how we all become better. But I was thinking about it, because this person they came at me pretty good. About my arrogance and some other things, and talking about baseball. And this is where I started thinking on it. So I have some very strong beliefs when it comes to the game of baseball that to me are kind of undeniable, inarguable. And there are people out there that disagree with some of these things. And yes, I think they're just flat wrong. That's right. It's okay. It's okay. We can disagree in this world. I'm not mad at you. I think you're probably wrong. Not probably wrong. I do think you're wrong. That's and a lot of it has to do, and this is what I was talking about earlier today when I was on with the Dave Glover show with Dave and with Kevin. I don't want to come across as arrogant or pompous or anything like that. That's not the goal. What people think of me is somebody who talks on the radio every night and wants to have as large of an audience as possible. Like it does, I'd be lying to you. It does matter what I think people think about me, and what people do think about me. But sometimes there are just things that are said that I don't get where people are coming from on it. And I try not to spend too much time on it. But like yesterday with the performance coach being hired. Performance coach is a really big deal. Really, really, really big deal. And something that Bernie and I talked about yesterday when he was on it at 6:20. And something that Kevin and Bernie talked about a little bit today during the Gas House Gang. a performance coach is really important. Being able to have your body, you know, construct your body in a way that it can be most successful is an important part of sports. You do your craft with your body. So you want your body working as correctly as possible to give you every advantage in the world. I don't think that's some sort of crazy statement, but you would have thought from some of the comments out there that this is some sort of newfangled science, and how dare the Cardinals spend money on a performance coach? Like, why do you, and the old Stan Musial didn't need a performance coach. Bob Gibson didn't need a performance coach. And I get that they are great baseball players. They are some of the greatest baseball players ever to walk the face of the earth. And if they were playing today, they would be just as successful. But you know what? If they were playing today, they would love the performance coach. They would love somebody who could help tell them what they can do to be even better. And it's something that didn't even exist, really didn't exist before. But just because it didn't exist, just because we know more now, there's this thing where we know more now than we did previously. But when we try to use that information, it offends a certain part of the fan base. And I just don't understand that. We can have this conversation when it comes to analytics. All analytics is information. And I want as much information as possible because data is good. Now, can you overload yourself with data? Can you look at it in a way where it's not, where you are making conclusions that are not real? It's not perfect. And there are times where it can be relied on too much, but generally speaking, having more information is a good thing. So teams should be able to have more information. And I'm not trying to harp on this, but yeah, there's just this. So I saw a lot of responses on social media about this. The Cardinals are just adding more levels of management or more levels of, I don't think the term bureaucracy was used, but just that sort of thing. And all they're doing is hiring people for jobs that you need to have to be a successful baseball team. You know, when you look at the teams out there that are most successful, they've got lots of people. You know, the performance coach specifically, has his last two stops were with the Giants when they were in their heyday and winning World Series. And then with the Dodgers most recently, and there's been no organization better than the Dodgers in recent years. Just because you're adding positions that were not previously there or were not previously filled or are being called something a little bit different, just because you're doing that doesn't mean you're adding some level of, it's not like adding more middle managers to a corporate structure. That's not what's going on here. And for people, yeah, you know, maybe that needs to be explained. Maybe that's something that needs to be, maybe when you see directors, because that's what those three guys were. They all got director titles, a pitching director, a performance director, a development director, player development. Maybe that's something that needs to be explained a little bit more, because you just see the press release and you see three directors are being hired and you feel like they're adding another level of middle management, for lack of a better term, in there. And that's not what they're doing. They're getting caught up to the industry. They're bringing in really, really smart people, and really smart people help teams function better. That's the bottom line here. I get some level of discomfort from some people who just want to see a team go sign the best possible players and try to win every year and that sort of thing. But that is a very simplified version of how you are successful in baseball. And bluntly, that's not the way it works. Even the teams that are super successful and spend tons of money, even the Dodgers, who can go give Shohei Ohtani a ridiculous contract, they are still developing players, and they are still getting high-level players to their major league roster via their farm system. And when you are the Cardinals, and this is not me calling the Cardinals, you know, saying this is not me playing the small market card. Not at all. Like the Cardinals can spend money. They can spend a respectable amount of money. I think once the player development system is humming along again, it's going to be fair to look at their payroll and compare it to where it has been recently and have a hope that that payroll starts to come back up again. And I think it will. But they need to produce more players out of the minor leagues. And if that's what it's going to take for this team to go win World Series again, if that's the eventual goal, because the way they're operating right now, this team isn't going to win a World Series. So the first step is what's going on right now. Chaim Bloom hires Rob Serfolio. Rob Serfolio hires the three guys yesterday, and then the three guys yesterday are going to go hire people, and they're all going to be really smart, and they're all going to be really good at their jobs, and they're going to make the team better. That's the goal. That's the idea. And there's been a bit of a brain drain when you go back to what this team was when Jeff Luna was around and when this team was the envy of just about every other team in baseball. It was filled. It was filled to the brim with incredibly smart people whose job it was to make other people better. Iron sharpens iron. And I'm not saying that the Cardinals didn't have any good people. They certainly did. They certainly did. There's a lot of good people in the organization that have been in the organization for a while that have done very, very, very good work. But there's not as many as there previously was. So every single time there's an announcement like yesterday where this person's being hired and this person is being hired, my suggestion to you, you don't have to take it, but my suggestion to you is instead of looking at it through the prism of, oh, they're adding more middle management, for lack of a better term, look at it as they're bringing in really smart people, and smart people make other people better. And when everybody's making everybody better, that is going to have an impact on the field, and that is going to have an impact when it comes to wins and losses. That is it for this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. When we'll get just a little while of the Gas House Gang, I believe. And then tonight at 9 o'clock, it is SLU Billiken's basketball as they match up against San Francisco this evening on the road. That's going to be a 9 o'clock tip-off. So that means our coverage with Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. is set to begin at 8:45. Thanks so much for being tuned in. Have a wonderful evening, and we will talk to you again tomorrow for another Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.